Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in that place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, they found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give him you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The pastor was visiting a family, and as he was having coffee with the mother, the kids came running in with this dead thing. And she asked, What is that? And the oldest one said, It's a rat, Mom, but don't worry. We stomped on it and we bashed it until it was... Well, at that moment, he saw that the pastor was there. And he changed his tune and he said, Until God called it home. Well, I'm not sure about rats, but I do know that there are many articles written debating when death actually occurs for the sake of organ transplants. And I've also been in intensive care units and in emergency rooms where people wondered if the person they loved had died or would die. And they would ask questions like, Can she live? One wise doctor replied, Yes, she can live. The question is, does she have the will to live? Ezekiel had just about written the death certificate on old Israel. Israel was in exile, or much of Israel was in Babylon in exile, and had just about given up on life itself, giving up on the hope of ever returning. And that's when he has this vision. God shows him this valley of dry bones, bones that had no life possibility in them, at least the way people looked at them. They were giving up. And God asks that question, Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, I don't know, but you do, Lord. And the Lord said, Yes, these bones can live. But I think God was also asking that question, Do they really have the will to live? As we look at our church today, as we look at Buffalo today, and through this pandemic, we have to ask that question. Do we want to trust God? Do we want to believe that God can make these bones live? Because sometimes we don't even know that we're dying. And that was the case with old Israel. If you had asked many of them, they would have said, We're not dead bones. We still have breath in us. And yet, it was not the breath of life that gives life. Isaac Asimov is a science fiction writer who also writes a few other things. And he tells a story about a church in which there was a hellfire and damnation preacher. You know, the kind who pound on the pulpit and really shake their fist at everybody. Well, this one was just like that. And in one particular sermon, he is pointing at the congregation and he says, You, this congregation, every member of this church will die. Now, there was one little man sitting in the front row, or near the front row, who had a great big smile on his face, just as happy as he could be. Well, the preacher thought that he hadn't heard, so he said it again. Every member of this church will die. The man was still smiling. So the preacher got down out of the pulpit, went down and stood in front of him and said, Why are you smiling? The man smiled at him and said, I'm not a member of this church. So, where are you in that? Are you a member of this church? Are you a member of Christ's church? That's the most important part. Are you alive, or are you among those dead bones? Paul told the early church in Rome to set their minds on Christ, because to set their minds on anything else was death. He says, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of Christ. Flesh and bones die. We know that. We've been to enough funerals to know that. The wages of sin is death. Those are the facts. But in the spirit, the spirit of Christ is in us. There is new life despite that. One of the problems we have is sharing what we believe. Mahatma Gandhi spent quite a bit of time in England and had become friends with some Christians. When he got back to India, some of his other friends asked him why, if he was friends with Christians, why he didn't just become a Christian. He said the problem was he knew too many Christians who didn't live as Christ would have them live. That's the indictment for all of us. Remember that we may be the only Bible some of these people out in the world ever read. Is our faith bound up and buried like dead bones in the eyes of the non-believers? Or are we alive in Christ? There wasn't any doubt that Lazarus was dead. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And he was smelling already. If you've ever been around dead meat, dead animals, anything like that, you know that stench that Mary and Martha experienced. It was not pleasant. And they knew he was dead. The question was, could he live? Martha and Mary were both really ticked off. And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Lord, if you had been here, he'd be alive now. What kind of a friend are you? It's about then that Jesus looks up at the crowd and sees all of these people who are weeping, and he weeps. Now, my belief is that he's weeping not because he's lost a friend, but because he's been to heaven himself. He knows the joy. He knows the peace. He knows the love of being in the presence of the Father. And now he has to call his friend, who is in that kind of peace, back into this world of pain and suffering, where there is little hope. But now he has to call him forth. And so he weeps. Orson Welles did a radio program, a dramatization of a Martian attack and an invasion by the Martians way back when. And people didn't hear the opening part that said that this was just a dramatization, and they took it seriously. So much so that some people even committed suicide because of it. Well, there was somewhat of a reenactment of that kind of activity in 1994 when CBS showed a program called Without Warning, in which an asteroid was going to hit the Earth and destroy the Earth. And it was obviously on television, it was a dramatization. And I saw that program, I believe, and I remember seeing those little captions they would put up every so often, warning people that this was just a dramatization, this was not real. And still, over 150 people called the station in panic, worried that the asteroid was going to hit their town. Well, Mary and Martha and all the others accepted the fact that Lazarus was dead. They didn't question the fact that he was dead. He was. But they didn't look at the possibility that what Jesus was ready to do was life. And so Jesus, even though they didn't get the idea, Jesus simply says, or calls out, "Lazarus, come forth!" And Lazarus came forth. Lent is a long journey. It's almost over. We have a couple of weeks to go yet. But it is a long journey. And sometimes it doesn't seem like we'll ever get to Easter. Because even now, we still have to go through the cross and the tomb to get to resurrection. Without the cross, there can be no resurrection. In our lives as humans, we are called upon to trust and believe that our faith is not bound up like dead bones thrown into a tomb, that we are alive in Christ. At the core, we are that valley of dry bones who wait to be raised to new life. Winston Churchill probably illustrated this best. He planned his own funeral. A very eloquent Anglican service was conducted with all of the liturgy you could hope for, and a fantastic sermon was preached. And at the end of the service, after the benediction, Winston Churchill's instruction was that the bugler was from one side of the church was to play taps. Taps, which meant the day is over. But immediately after, his instruction was a bugler on the other side of the church was to blow reveille. It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning. For Churchill, death wasn't the end. Death wasn't the last note where he goes to sleep and he never wakes up. The last note was, "These bones shall rise again." That's true for us as well. Not only as individuals, but as a church. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing what